be seated. I'm going to talk to you what I feel the Lord wants me to say. And wherever we stop tomorrow, I'll finish it. So let's start today. We'll finish tomorrow. Right. So it's what the scripture says. And Onyeka, my son, was alluding to this when the day he preached up here. It's about not letting the truth slip through your fingers. Not letting the truth slip from you. Do not let the truth of the word of God slip from you. Hebrews 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We ought to give more earnest heed. We need to listen sincerely. We give it more attention than any other thing, than things we have heard. Lest at any time we should let them slip off. We should give more earnest heed, lest we let them slip off. And it's so important that we listen to these things, because the word of God, and I want you to please listen to me, because as I live my life and I get around Christians, majority of Christians do not know the gospel. They don't believe the gospel. They don't live in it, and they're frustrated. Many Christians don't believe the gospel. Even here, many don't. I'm telling the truth. Because when you hang out around them and they start talking, they talk like they never heard the gospel before. Their testimony is not the gospel. The word they say is not the gospel. Everything they're saying is carnal, from the flesh, from the mind. And yet they sit and say, oh yeah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We should listen to this thing. Because the only way, the major way, that God will bless you, bless me, is through the words of his grace. It's through the words of his grace that all the blessings of God will flood into the life of a Christian. And if the Christian doesn't believe them, thinks it's a joke, he will live like the heathen. Everything Jesus did on the cross is to alter our life, to line up with divine plan, divine love for each one of us. Everything Jesus did was to alter our life, was to change it from the damage that Adam caused, the damage that sin caused, the damage that Satan caused, to alter it and bring it to where? To what God had in mind when he created man. And he said, the plan I have for you is the plan of what? Good. All of it is to bless the man in his body, his soul, his spirit. The total man. Everything Jesus did is to bring you and me blessings, to restore us in blessings in our body, in our soul, in our spirit. The entire man, every from head to toe. And being ignorant of them and playing along religion and thinking they don't matter, believe you me, you do without. You will do without. You have testimonies. Nothing. You pray and pray and pray. And your faith will be really very weak. It'll be very weak. I mean, sometimes we sweep it under the carpet and we go in our mind, we're wondering what is going on. What is going on? But sometimes we accept things that shouldn't be there. We accept them as it's okay now. The point is that Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth. And when you know the truth, what will happen? Set you free. But if you don't know that truth, if you don't call it anything, if you think it's not important, you think you just come and go, I mean, they go to church, just come and go. And you don't do what the Bible said, to give heed honestly to these things. Honestly. So you overcome competing things that the enemy is throwing at us, the world is throwing at us. Honestly, you live a very regular life. I'm telling you, the life of a Christian should be such that people should be saying, wow, wow. Because there's no place the Holy Spirit is doing something that's ordinary. There's nowhere in the Bible, there's nowhere God shows up that's ordinary. Nowhere. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, he said, don't go witness for me. until I anoint you with power, until my spirit comes upon you, so that what it does through you, people will now notice it and begin to believe it. So let me run you through some of the things that we'll be saying from this pulpit over and over and over and over. You say, Pastor, really? Yeah, because the scripture says if you remind them of these things, then you are a good minister. A good minister, according to the Bible, is the one that reminds people of these things, because it takes a lot of, if actually that is what the ministry is, until the word takes root, until the truth takes root, until this thing begins to work in us. So let's go through them again. The blessing that God gave us. And look at, before then, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now I entrust you to God. New Living Translation says, yeah, okay, anyway. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Watch the word grace appearing everywhere. Okay, New Living Translation says, and now I entrust you to God and the message of his what? Grace. And grace is what God does for you. I said it here. The Lord asked me, he said, can a man show grace to himself? I said, no. He said, but that's what many people are doing. You don't have it. You can't say, Lord, I'm showing myself grace. It's ridiculous. It's the message of God's grace. What God did for me. What God is doing for me. What God in his mercy, by his grace, unmerited, is doing for me because of his love. And all of that is what Jesus came to fulfill for mankind. And Paul said, I now entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance and give you all your blessings with all those he has set apart for himself. I like this translation. It's New Century Version. It says, now I am putting you in the care of God and the message about his grace. It is able to give you strength and it will give you the blessings. The blessings God has for all his holy people, he will give you. That's what will give it to me. That's what will give it to you. There is no other means of blessing except the cross, the death of Jesus on it, the burial of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus. God has nothing coming to us except through what Jesus came to fulfill. Nothing. And Peter singled out something very amazing. He said, even living the spirit life is through what Christ did. That's what he said in 2 Peter 1:4. Let me read the message. 2 Peter 1:4, the message. The message says, 2 Peter 1:4. Everything that goes into message, everything that. This is 3. I'm talking of 4. Okay, sometimes you can't split it from your own, but let me read it from my own. It says, we are also given absolute, terrific promises. We were also given, it's about the middle of that whole thing, you'll find it there. We were also given absolute, terrific promises to pass on to you. You are tickets to participation in the life of God. After you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust, that's after you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, after you make a decision to leave the world and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, through these things that Jesus fulfilled, through these promises, you and I can participate in the life of God. We can live the spirit life. It's not by struggle. It's through these things that I can live, I can participate in divine life. I can participate in the life of Christ. I can participate in eternal life. I can live this life through this blessing of grace. That's how I can live this life. And I keep telling Christians, check your life now and see if the same thing people were complaining about 10 years ago, are they still not complaining about it in your life? 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, you were known for anger. You are still known for anger. After being a Christian 18 years, something is wrong. Your mouth, you can't control it. You've been a Christian 18 years. Still, your mouth rules you. Something is wrong. You are not participating in the life of Christ, because Christ is not like that. That's why we have all these problems in marriages. Talk about marry this and marry that. And if it's like that in our character area, I don't imagine it's going to be different in other areas of our life. I don't imagine it. So let's go through these works of grace, these benefits that God blessed us with through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me start by talking about the blessing for the body, our physical well-being. Everybody say physical well-being. Say it louder, come on. Our body and physical well-being. What are the things that causes the body trouble? Sickness. Did you know that sickness is a cause? The Bible says so. It's one of the things that God counted to Israel. That is one of the causes of the law. The botch, the boil, the sickness, the fever, and all of them. It's not a blessing. It's not a blessing at all. And so Jesus came to remove that pain of the body from us. He came to heal us. He came to bring us complete healing. And Isaiah prophesied that, and Matthew confirmed that. Isaiah said that in Isaiah 53 verse 4. Can I have time up there, honey? How long do you want me up here? How long do I stay here? Sorry? Say five, right? Yes, ma'am. If you say so. Whatever you say goes. So, Isaiah 53, 4. It says, New King James Version says, surely he has borne our what? Griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. In verse 5. Then, but he was wounded for our what? Transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace. Anything that will bring you, destroy your peace was on him. The chastisement is flogging. Chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were what? Healed. Now, Matthew was writing about this very, very, very verse. And Matthew said, this is what Isaiah has in mind. This is what Isaiah has in mind in Matthew 8:17. Matthew quoted this place. Matthew 8:17. Says, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. He was quoting this particular verse. He himself took our what? Infirmities and bore us. Can you put it in New Living Translation? New Living Translation. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said he took our, what did he take? Sicknesses and what else? Remove that disease. You see what I'm saying? That the blessing of healing came through what Jesus did for my body, for your body, for everybody's body. Everybody's body. And he started by saying, who will believe our report? Because people won't pay attention. But he said, give more attention, give more heed to this thing. Leave out all these things. My son, attend to my words. Give it attention. This is what brings you this blessing. This thing you hear. So what else does the physical body suffer? Causes. Lack of progress. Lack of prosperity. It's not a blessing. The Bible says the blessings of God, it what? Make it rich. It does not add sorrow. Make it rich. It makes it rich. It does not ask. Galatians 3:13. See the blessing that Jesus brought me and brought you. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the tree, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung where? On the tree, verse 14. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles. Can somebody shout hallelujah? God has what? Blessed the Gentiles. What type of blessing? With the same blessing he promised to Abraham. So that we who are believers might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He said the same blessing Abraham had. He blessed Abraham in cattle, in rich, everything. Check out his children now. Check out the present Jews who are descendants of Abraham. And tell me the wealthiest people in this world are Jews, anywhere they are. They own America, they own Canada, they own Brazil, they own everywhere. They own Germany, they own France. They were going to move away from France. The French government started shaking. They were begging them. They said, we're leaving this country. You people are not, there's anti-Semitism there. They were planning to leave en masse. The French government said, if you leave, France is finished. The brands you have in America, all these things they build, business, ShopRite you go to, is owned by Jews. That's why if you go to ShopRite, you buy kosher bread and all this. It's owned by them. Messes, mention it. And you know they pay tithe up to today. They pay tithe individually, they pay tithe as a company. Every company they own pays tithe up to today as I'm talking to you. They do it. In that their synagogue. Why? The callings and gift of God is start repentance. They are descendants of Abraham. They have that physical blessing of Abraham. God has given to Abraham. And God says, I've also given it to the Gentiles. See, only one person said amen. Only three people said amen. I want all of you to say amen. See, when you say these things, you appropriate them. What's wrong with your prospering? Tell me what is wrong with you prospering. Tell me why you shouldn't prosper. Doesn't it glorify God when you prosper? Doesn't it give God glory? Don't you want people to say, oh my God, what is happening to you? Then you sit them down and say, I have the blessings of who? Why is it all of you are not agreeing with me? I have the blessings of who? Abraham. Have the blessings of Abraham. And it's with these things you fight your spiritual battles. With this word, you pull it as a sword and say no. Because sometimes we are resisted. Sometimes things don't look out immediately like this. So you have to stand your ground and take this word in your mouth and fight it out. And punch through. You punch through with it. You start cutting with it. You say, this is the word of God. Can I hear amen? Is anybody here who doesn't want to prosper? Anybody here who wants to prosper? Does anybody want to prosper? Let me give you good news. You have the anointing to prosper already. All you need to do as per God is to believe it. You don't help God. My wife and I were in one hotel, we were somewhere, and then there was a situation that arose. The Lord told me, he said, let the world fight. I say, really say, leave it alone. Let it fight for you. Do you know this world is alive? And a spirit. Who will believe our report? The Bible says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. That thou mayest not prosper. That thou mayest what? Prosper and be health. Even as I sow, that's divine word. God wants us to prosper. Why shouldn't you prosper? Why? It's because you're not believing what God said. You're not. I tell you again, I go around, talk with Christians. If you hear what they say, sometimes you feel like crying. Because where is this person coming from? Their testimony is not what God said. And they come with all this, and they start with all the negative. You want to run away. So all this negative, because you know the Bible says the companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. I want to hear that. I want to hear something that they define. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus, Pastor. This is what Jesus is doing. Shake me up and say, Pastor, wake up. God is working. Iron sharpened what? But don't come pull me down. Before I left one committee entirely, I said, I'm not working with you people anymore. Don't call me. I used to be one of these appointments they gave me. I used to be all that. And I told them, I said, I'm not doing it again. I said, all I hear here is negative result. I don't want it again. I said, it does not define me. At my age, I don't want anything. I want to live all my days in prosperity. I don't want to be hearing everything. Every time people send me note, give permission to close this church. We are closing churches. I said, I'm not coming again. I don't want to be a member of your committee no more. No, no more. No, no, no. All I see is gloom. Doesn't help me. I want to see what God is doing to defy me and challenge me and raise my vision up and say, whoa, I have a big God. I want something that will quicken my spirit. I was every time, send me, give permission to close this church. We close one church, we close this church, and church is closing from 100 to 40 something or whatever. I said, I'm not part of this thing. Leave me alone. It's killing my vision. God builds. God what? It doesn't destroy. Not his church. I ran away from that testimony. I said, I'm not part of this. And I refused. Lala, I said, hey, long as I'm in this country, I will not be in your meeting. I will not be, don't appoint me to anything. I don't want it. Leave me alone. Because I have become right hand that is making me to say wrong things. Because I call home, I say to my wife, I say, oh my God, this is what I'm hearing, all this kind of stuff. And my wife will see me and say, my husband, stop murmuring and complaining. He told me, he said, let me advise you. If this thing will make you murmur, you better get up. That's what I did. And since then, I've forgotten that they close churches. All I dream now is increase. Can I hear amen? Yeah. Evil communication will corrupt you very easily. It's easy to destroy than to build. So we are blessed with the blessings of Abraham. I don't know how many of you believe that now. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. We are redeemed from the curse. We're not under the curse. We're blessed. I refuse to accept curses. I refuse. It's not part of my covenant right with God. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed in the morning, blessed in the afternoon, blessed in the evening. I am blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed in my soul. I'm blessed in my spirit. I don't accept any other testimony, and I don't care what is happening. Because the word of God is here and then. I don't care what is happening. I'm blessed. Man, why don't you walk into where you're doing business and worship God and say, Lord, I'm blessed. Oh, my God. But you didn't see one customer, you say, Lord, I'm still blessed. Why don't you keep that? Keep doing that. Keep doing that. One day you come there, you customers from everywhere. You can't even handle what, and you are the one that made it happen because you started releasing it. And he said, all right, yeah, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm not seeing anybody. You won't see. Because it's coming from, is that the testimony of God? What did God say? You are blessed. Can I hear amen? I want to convince you that you are blessed. Take away these visions and things that is not from God and receive with joy the blessings Jesus died to give you and me. The blessings of Abraham have come upon us. Can somebody say amen? Oh, amen. It's come upon us. You fight with it. You don't let it go. He said, don't let it slip through your finger. Hold it. Don't let it go. Don't hold it. Hold it tight. Because somebody wants to steal it from you. No, you're going to hold it tight. Don't let it slip because of, come on, forget about what is happening. Because the counsel of God will what? Stand. For those who believe consistently. Let me tell you another blessing we have in the body. Before Jesus came, the flesh was running riot. Had no control. Until Jesus came. Until Jesus came. Our flesh had something greater than it. More powerful than it is the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. Look at Romans 8:9. Romans 8:9. but you are not controlled. Romans 8, 9. But you are not controlled by your what? I didn't hear it. Can we read that first line again? One, two, go. So why do you tell people, oh, my own is anger? Where do you get that testimony from? Is that what that Bible says? Did you read it there? Why do we go about talking all these things that is not Bible? Is that what he said? If you pass it, you know, it's from my father, I got it. You didn't get anything from my father. My father and your father is God. What you gave him is what God gave you is eternal life, not that thing you're talking about. He said, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are not controlled by your what? Can I hear amen? Please tell yourself what I said. I am not controlled by my sinful nature. He said, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living where? In you. Yeah. That's what it says. Why? Because that Spirit has power that controls your flesh. That's what the Bible says. That's what it says. It says, no, your sinful nature is not controlling you no more. You have the Spirit of God living in you stronger than your flesh. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them, they do not belong to Him. Then the next verse, can we run through the next verse quickly? And Christ lives in you. No, don't read with me, because before I read it, you people didn't come along with me. Now let me read it alone. I want, each time I say repeat that from me, I want it to be louder. Until you get to that point, don't read with me. I'll be reading alone. And Christ lives where? Within. Now it's louder. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you what? Life. Because you have been made right with God. He said the Spirit is active and giving life. Do you know that the reason you live is because your Spirit is in your body? The day your Spirit leaves, this body dies. It's the same thing. The reason your Spirit has life is active because the Spirit of God lives in it. So if the Spirit of God is in you, that's what he's saying. That Spirit of God gives life to your spirit, and that Spirit transmits to your body. And your body responds. It can control it. It can control your body because the Spirit of God is active in your body, supplying you strength, supplying you power, supplying you ability. And you can now say, I can do all things through that strength that Jesus is supplying me. So we are no more victims of the flesh. I say, hey, my own is anger. My own, you are not a victim, my friend. No, 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 no. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. Can I hear amen? Yes. Don't come telling me, I know. I tried this thing. Why did they tell you to try that thing? All they ask you to do is to believe that thing. And Christ lives within you. Lives within you. The next verse, please. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. He will impact his power on your mortal bodies by the same Spirit. By the same Spirit living in you, within you. Verse 12. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation anymore to do what your sinful nature, what? Urges you to do. You don't have obligation. Don't come give reasons and say, that's nothing like that. You don't have any obligation anymore to the flesh. Why? Because God's power is working in us. And that's what it says in the next verse 13. For if you live by its dictate, if you follow this, your flesh, you will die. It will cut you off from fellowship with God, kill your faith, weaken your faith, make you lukewarm, make you weak, make your prayer weak. Bible study, open Bible to read, you'll be sleeping. It will cut you off from your source. But if through the power of that Spirit in you now, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you shall live. Through the power of that Spirit of Christ that lives in you, you say to the flesh, no, you don't control me no more. The power of Christ is in me, and I'm no more obligated to you. I am not obligated to you no more. You get what I'm saying, flesh? I am not. I'm not who I, before Jesus came, I was your slave, but now I'm no more your slave. Time of slavery is over. Are you getting what I'm saying? Huh? If you're hearing me say amen, the time of slavery is what? Over. Over. I don't have obligation to you. I don't. But when you testify to his power over you, talk about all what's got control over you. It controls you. And by saying that, you are denying the Bible, denying what Jesus did, and rejecting it totally. And sometimes we say this even laughing. God. Even laughing. Because we don't understand what we're doing to ourselves. We're siding with the flesh, siding with the devil, siding with the world, and calling God a liar. And hoping tomorrow wonders will happen. Then, for the blessings of our spirit is that we receive forgiveness of sin. All the consequences of our sin, Jesus paid for it all. Is there anything Jesus didn't pay for? He paid for it all. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have Ephesians 1:7. Can you put the King James Version? In whom we have King James, okay. In whom we have, what do we have? Through his blood. Now, when we talk of redemption, I want you to see this line now. Because it called forgiveness, redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He said the redemption I'm talking about is the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness. He didn't say and forgiveness. No, he said the forgiveness of sin. Now what I'm talking about is the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of sins through his blood is that God redeemed us from all the consequences of our sins. Our sin, God cannot forgive our sins and punish us for that. Because he laid on all the punishment on Christ. So in whom we have redemption through his blood, what type of redemption is he talking about? The forgiveness of what? Sins. According to the riches of, again, the work of his grace. Forgiveness of sins. Our sins are forgiven. We have been reconciled with Christ, reconciled with God through Christ forever and ever. Reconciled. Completely reconciled. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his grace. This is the blessing we have received, brethren. This is the blessing we have. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And because of the shedding of blood now, there is remission of sins. And that's the part of the redemptive work that Jesus did. That he brought us redemption from the consequences of our sins through his blood. Through his blood. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him. What did God lay on him? The iniquity of us all. Who has believed our report? The blessings of forgiveness of sin is huge. Because that's the primary thing that opened us to every other thing that God has given us. Then freedom from the encasement of sin. You know what encasement means? To encase something. It's like mummifying something. It's to use, to encase, put something in a cocoon and then bind and encase him like that. That's what the sinful nature was that we had. We are really encased by sinful nature spiritually. Spiritually encased. In that kind of situation. But Jesus came and set us free from it. In Colossians 2:11. In whom also you are what? In whom also you are what? Circumcised. With the circumcision made with our hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, that Jesus Christ cut off from me and from you the body of sin. Cut it off. I remember when Kenichukwu was circumcised by my friend, Dr. Chike. He just came back from Germany. We were just friends. And then he did his circumcision. The mother was crying outside. He had Kenichukwu crying. She started crying. Both of them were crying. I said, it's good for you now. Dr. Chike said, it's good for you now. We're trying to keep your boy very good. And you're crying. Both of them. Immediately Kenichukwu started crying. She started crying. Both of them were competing. But that circumcision was necessary. And that same thing the Bible is saying, that Christ circumcised us, cut off, cut off, cut off, cut off, cut off. That's a blessing. Because if he didn't cut it off, we will go to hell. You can't go to heaven with that body. You cannot, and I cannot. He had to cut it off and give us a new nature. If any man is in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, what? All things are become new. Now, when I testify and talk to people, if I want to testify, I should not be ashamed of the gospel. I should be able to declare, listen, I'm a new creature now. Even if you can't say it before people, say it before God now, even in your place of prayer. And say, Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm a new creature. You cut off this thing from me. I don't have all this. This thing that used to happen, no, it's not part of me. That I have a new life now. And this new life is created in Christ in true holiness, and in true righteousness. I'm a new creature in Christ. It is not a joking matter. It's not something you hear and brush off and go and be doing church. I go church, I go fellowship. These are the things we live by. This is the truth. If Christ didn't cut it off, nothing will cut it off from us. Nothing. He did what no man can do. He told them, he said to them, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. When they asked him, who can man be saved? He said, with man, it's impossible. It's not possible with man to save himself. Only God can deliver us from this kind of thing. So we have a new nature. The old nature is off. It's off. Don't take your identity from your physical lineage. Take your identity from the word of God. If God says so, that is yea, that is amen, and that is true. Can I hear amen? So we've been cut off, we've been changed. These are the blessings that Christ brought us. Freedom from sin, freedom from Satan. Colossians 1:13. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Can we read Colossians 1:13 together? 1, 2, go. Let's go. Who had what? Stop there. Can you read it again? Can you read it again? Can you now put me? Who had delivered me from the power of darkness? Come, let's go. 1, 2, go. Let's say it again. One more time, let's say it again. Then the next thing, what did he do? He had translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. He had delivered us from the power of darkness. We are now in the kingdom of his dear son. Look, I had an experience. You know, God taught me. I didn't go to Bible college. So I had all these things I'm teaching you. I had them experience. I saw spiritual things by the grace of God. I saw demons like I'm seeing you. I see them like I'm seeing you. I see they have no power. It's from there I learned they have no power truly. And I learned the power in the name of Jesus practically. I wasn't taught it by any human being. God taught me. Because he told me, he said, don't go to Bible college. I will teach you myself. And he did. He really did. So one time, you know, some demons came. We were having family fellowship. And I saw them. I think my wife saw them. And they said they wanted one of my children. And really, I saw them take that boy. And I ran after them. They were menu. I ran after them. I met them in my bathroom. And I said, come on, give me my son. Come on, give me my son. So they said, they were holding him. And saying, I said, have you forgotten what he did to you? They say, who? I said, the one that destroyed you on the cross. They said, take your son. You don't know what he did. Take your son. Take your son. Like wind. Boom, boom, boom. They all ran away. All I told them is, remember what he did to you. Where? On the cross. I just told them. I said, have you forgotten what he did? He destroyed your power. He dealt with you on the cross. How can you forget that? You don't have power anymore. They say, they became a, who? Immediately I said, well, they dropped that boy in my hand and I took him. The following day, the boy became sick. So sick. We took him to hospital. They didn't know what was wrong. They couldn't give him anything. And this was Saturday night, to Sunday morning. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, this is not my house, and I'm going to church. I'm going to church, and I will teach Life Center this evening. I said, we need to leave here. Do you know, by the time the doctors finally came, we were looking for him. You know where he was? He was playing outside. Exactly that thing I saw in the dream. That's the revelation I had. They had him and they released him. It happened, it played out physically. He was so sick. He was really, really very sick. And by the time the doctors came, they said, where is the boy? We were looking for him. We now saw him playing, running around and playing. No medicine, nothing. Exactly. The way they had him and they released him. So when they had him, was that time he was sick, and they released him was when he started playing. He played out physically for me. What Jesus did on the cross was enormous victory. He made a public show of them publicly. Somebody shout hallelujah. He delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Then, I'm just talking about the spiritual, the things, the blessings of our spirit and our spiritual welfare. Then he gave us the gift of righteousness. Amazing, huge, the gift of righteousness that we can stand before God and be counted righteous. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Titus 3:7, New Living Translation. Am I communicating anything? Titus 3:7. I'm going to wrap this up. By the end, you'll see how you can apply this to your life. And you see a result. If you do what I'm telling you today, I guarantee you a result. You may not see immediately, but you'll see. Titus 3:7. Because of his grace, he declared us what? Righteous. And gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Continue. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. It's a trustworthy saying that because of his grace, he counted us righteous. He says it's beneficial to everyone. It's totally beneficial to everyone. This is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Now, the blessing for our soul, you know, you can know what God is doing. You're not like when as a heathen, we didn't know what God is in, but because of the presence of the Spirit of Christ in us, that Spirit teaches us everything that God is doing. And that's why we can walk in his word. We can understand we are no more heathens. Our heart is not black. It's not dark. It's not dark like the heathens. No, our heart is not like that. Because the Spirit of God lives in us. Jesus said, it is not given to you to know the things of the kingdom of God. So we can walk in his wisdom. We are no more limited. Our soul can prosper. Because the Spirit of God lives in us. So he shows us things that are freely given to us. He shows us things that are not seen, that are real. He makes us understand the secret things of God. So we are blessed because that's what poured the hidden treasure in earthen vessel is the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He called it a treasure that I will know Christ. And he said there is nothing that compares with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which the Holy Spirit gives to the Christian. Nothing. There is no knowledge that compares with it. Absolutely nothing. And because of that, we are prospering in our soul. We are different from what we used to be. Because now we can know that secret things of God. We can know that truth of God. We can understand where God is. We can know what God is saying. We know because it is. These things that we are knowing are the things that control the things we see. Somebody say amen. You know, I like talking to you because you follow me. Can I hear another amen? Now, when we don't receive these things, my sisters, God is grieved. He grieves the Spirit of God. He's totally grieved. When we don't receive these things, when we play games with them, when we don't even do what he said. He said at the beginning, he said, give attention, give heed to these things. The Bible says these teachings are good and beneficial. When we don't listen to them, when we hear them in church and they become a mental exercise thing, and we go out chatting, actually know what the Lord do. He said, if you are going to talk to them about talking. I'm not kidding. He said, talk to them about talking. I said, Lord, how do I say start with these things and you end up with talking? Because if a man doesn't know how to control his tongue, all his religion is what? Worthless. If you joke with these things and you don't want to give them attention, you think you have something better to help you, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. But these are the things that God wants to come out of your mouth. So if we neglect them, it grieves God huge. It really grieves God a lot. It's like seeing your child doing something that hurts him, doing something that deprives him something, doing something that doesn't help him. You see he's in danger and he needs this thing to be free, but he's neglecting it. How happy will you be? You will not be happy. It grieves God so much that after his son dies to give us this thing that will bring us to glory, bring us fullness of joy, reflect his love for us, a Christian will push it aside. He's a good father too now. He feels grieved. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? He said, 40 years I was grieved with Israel. Think of it, my brethren. 40 solid years God was grieved. 40 years. Who made God angry for 40 years? Was it not the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? Continue. And what was their sin? Continue. To whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they will never enter his rest again? Can you imagine God promised them, gave them promise of all this land flowing with milk and honey? And God said, you are not going to see it again. Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? Continue. So we see that because of their what? I didn't hear you. Because of their what? That was the only reason. They were not able to enter that rest of God. They will not accept what God is offering them. They will not. They had this mindset of Egypt. They will be thinking of Egypt, the cucumber we used to eat, this thing we used to eat. And they were still thinking of Egypt. They were not thinking of what God said. Their mind was still locked into it. In fact, at a point, they said to Moses, we need to go back. They said, we remember we need to eat coriander. We need to eat. You see, the Christian's mind must be renewed. Because if all you think is about the natural things and the sin world in the natural thing, you'll be like the Egyptians. I mean, this Israelites in this journey. I'm talking of cucumber and things when God has something better in Christ for us. So the Bible said God was grieved. And they died. They were not able because of their unbelief. They did not accept it. And yet, Isaiah said, who will believe our what? Our report, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. Don't come to church and hear this and ignore it. He said, we're begging you. Don't come and hear this things and you go home and ignore it. Don't let it slip through your finger. Paul said, I'm begging you. Don't let it slip through. Don't ignore it. Many people ignore this thing, I'm telling you. And they think rituals will take place. They think doing ritualistic things will take the place of Jesus and the cross. It's not true. It's not true. Absolutely not true. For the blessings come through the works of grace only. That's from where it came. And look at Galatians 2:21. New Living Translation. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. If that would bring me the blessings of God, so why did Christ die? He said, I don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. The other one we read says, don't cast it aside. Don't neglect it. Don't let this word slip through your finger. Before I continue, before we came here, I asked God to do something. I asked God to move among you. I tell God, I say, I want you to sweep through this place. And God will do that. I don't want you. I'm telling you, God will do that. I asked him, I said, Lord, if you don't do this, they won't believe this. I said, that's why Christians don't believe your word. They think we are joking. They think we made it up. They think it's church where they go. I said, you need to sweep through their hearts. God will do that. I'm telling you, because if you pray and believe, you will see it up. God will do that. And as I'm talking to you, he's sweeping through your hearts and sweeping away some of the junk that is hindering you from being blessed. Because God wants you blessed. God wants you healed. God wants you prosper. God wants you reflect his glory. And there is no option. You must reflect it in Jesus' name. So now, he's saying, don't treat these things as, go home and study them. Buy this kind of cassette and hear it. I hear things. Look, my wife will tell you, oh man, I hear these things over and over and over and over. I go to bed, I soak it in over in the car. I don't have time to talk and gossip and stuff like that. It's the word I want. I hear it over. And the more I hear, the more it gets into me. The more I hear, the more it gets into me. The more, wow. This is what they say. Initially, you may not get it until you continue to press. Paul said, all my life, all I want to do is to know Christ. He pressed into that thing and God gave him abundance of revelation that Peter didn't get. It's what you seek, you get in this life now. If this is important to you, you press into it in prayer. You go to God in prayer like Bereans. You go to God, you take your Bible like Bereans and search again and say, Lord, I need to understand this thing. I need to live in this and the fruit of God will take it from there and move you higher. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. He said, let us fear. We don't repeat what they repeated. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them now. Not being mixed with faith in them that had it. For we which have believed do enter into what? As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He said, if you believe, you enter into his rest. What he's talking about is, God is not excited when you want to go and produce what Jesus only can produce for you. He said, stop seizing your labor. Stop all this trying to produce righteousness, produce this one. You can't. Only Jesus did it. Only Jesus produced it. And all God wants to do is to accept it, is to receive it as a gift. So when we try to produce it and thinking that because of this thing I'm doing, then this is what God is doing. God said, no, it's what I gave you. I gave you to you in Christ Jesus. And all you need to do is to receive. So you say, enter into your rest and cease from all the works trying to impress me, try to get this done. No, it's an act of love for you. And Jesus paid with his life for you to have them. He didn't come free. He came free to us, but he didn't come free for God because his son paid for all of this. And so he said to us, we must labor. The only labor we are told to do is to cease from our own works. That's the only labor. In Hebrews 14, Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Labor to cease. Stop to enter that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And why? Why should I stop? Why should I labor to seize him? Why should I stop? Why should I just trust the word of God? He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. He said, that word you hear is quick and powerful. Leave it alone. It will do what God said it does. When God sends it out, it doesn't come back void. He says, stop laboring to make it. That's what God told me. I think in Maryland, he said, let the word fight. Leave it alone. He said, release it and let it go. He said, this word is powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's quick. Means it has life. It's active. He said, this thing, you can't. There's no knife that compares with it. It's the sword of the Spirit. He said, just believe this word. It's powerful. It does something. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and to the joints and marrow. And he said, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the... He said, there's nothing he can't do. Even in the heart of a man, it will do and it will pierce where nothing can go. So you can trust that word and seize in your labor. Let the word work out for you. If you understand me, say amen. And part of the labor is anxiety, worrying what to do. Why worrying what to do? The word is powerful enough. It's quick. Leave it alone. It will do what God said it is. So we simply accept the word of God. Are you tired? Do you want some more? That's why I like talking to you. I mean, when I was coming, I was excited. I said, talking to our women is a preacher's dream. Telling you. Can you clap for yourselves? It's a preacher's dream. When I talk to you, I float. I'm not tired. I enjoy myself. It's floating, you know. You women are the best in this world, I'm telling you. It's amazing. Can I come back next month? It's amazing. I'm not tired. I feel on top of the world. Your spirit is really flowing. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. It's also, we simply accept that word continuously as true in your heart, and let it be your testimony. In Romans 5:10-5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which of the law, the man who does these things shall live by them, but the righteousness of faith, you see, this is wonderful. This is amazing. What Paul is writing. Paul is writing about the uselessness of trying to struggle to do these things. And don't say, who will go and bring God down? Who can bring Jesus up? So you don't need to do any of that. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to do anything anymore. He said, Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. The man who dwelt them shall live by them. He said, but this righteousness we are talking about, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith, the one we are talking about is faith. Speak it on this word. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into where? Heaven. That is to bring Christ down. How do I bring Christ down to come and do this thing? Or? Continue. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ from the dead, let him rise up and come and help me. He said, that's not, you don't have to think, oh, what shall I do to drag Jesus down to come and do this thing? Or to bring him up from the dead to come and do this thing? He said, no, the word has been given to you. Verse 8. But what said it? The word is where? I didn't hear you. It's where? It's nigh thee. It's right there. Even where? In thy mouth. And where again? So don't say, oh, what will I do to bring Jesus down? Oh, I wish Jesus was here. He said, don't think like that. Oh, where is he? Let me drag him from the dead. This thing is too hard. No. He said, the word has been given to you. That word is powerful. That word is alive. That word is God in action. He said, it's been given to you. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged. So it understands everything happening in your life. It discerns the intents and purposes of everything. There is nothing hidden from it. It understands what you're talking about. It understands your situation where you are. But God says, only believe it. Only believe it. Don't go and say, oh, Jesus, oh, this is, oh, no, forget about all of that. The word has been given to you. The word has been given to you. In the beginning was the word. The word was God, and the word is God. The Bible called Jesus the word. The word is nigh thee, even where? In thy mouth, and where again? That is the word of faith, which we preach. All these things, the word of grace, All these things that the world is revealing that Jesus did is being given to us. That's what Paul said. This is what we're preaching. Remember, he says, this thing is good and beneficial to everybody. These things we preach is being given to us. So there's no need for us to say, oh, Jesus, come. Come on. No. It's been given to us. Then continue. Verse 9. That if you shall do what? Confess with what? The mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe what? In the heart, that God has. What will happen? I must be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart, believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth. Then he says to us, he says, listen, all you need to do is to believe it and say it. And it work for you. Believe it in your heart and what? Say it. Say it with me. Believe it in my heart and say it. Say it with me. Believe it in my heart and say it. Come on, say it again. Believe it in my heart and say it. And he testified that this thing is working. Look at Colossians 1:6. This same good news, Colossians 1:6, a New Living Translation. He gave testimony that this thing works. Lord, amazing. Thank you. Colossians 1:6. This same good news that came to you is going out where? All over the world. And is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. He said this thing changes life. Everywhere it's changing lives. The truth about God's wonderful grace changes life. So he said, believe it. That word is powerful. It's changing. It's working. It's renewing life. It's bringing healing. It bring people are seeing themselves free. It's doing what Jesus died to make it do. Now, let's finish with Abraham. Somebody shout hallelujah. Am I communicating to you? Okay, good. Now, let's finish with Abraham. You remember Abraham? Abraham is a typical example of these things. Because God came to Abraham and said to Abraham, I have a covenant with you. Abraham said, yeah. Say, yeah, I'm establishing a covenant with you, Abraham. And Abraham said, okay. So we have a covenant. Say, yeah. And God said to Abraham, from now on, you are no more going to be called Abraham. You are going to be called what? Abraham. Genesis 17:4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of what? Many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thy name shall be what? Abraham, for a father of many nations I made thee. Did you see how God put it? I made thee. If he didn't make him, he wouldn't be. I made thee. Verse 6. And I will make thee how? Exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you and to thy seed after thee. Now, you see, after God came to you and said, I have this covenant with you. Remember, we have covenant with God through Jesus too. So that seed is Christ now. So God said, I have this covenant with you. But let me tell you what I'm doing. You don't have a child, I know. You don't have a child, I know that. But I have made you a father of what? At what age? Okay? At age of 30? Old age. God said, I made you a father of many nations. And God taught him something that I want us to remember now. God said to him, your name shall no more be called what? Abraham. By what? Abraham. And he changed the name of the wife. I want you to listen to me. It's going to be very interesting very soon. He changed the name of the wife. And it's amazing. Romans 4:3. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that walketh is the reward not reckoned as grace. But as the but to him that walketh not. You see that thing God is saying, cease from your labor. Stop worrying. But believe on him that justified ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Now, Abraham just simply believed what God told him. And guess what God was doing? Every morning Abraham would wake up. You know who he would call? They didn't have a child, so he had only one person in the house. Who will he call? You're not talking. Who will he call? Talk now if you know. Who will he call? What is Abraham saying? Mother of many nations. See what God did? God said, I want this word in your mouth. Every morning, call her that. And Sarah will wake up and say, He'll say, Abraham, father of what? Do you know how many times they called themselves that name every day? When God changed that name, it wasn't a joke. That's the principle of God from that generation to today. He said, the word is in your mouth. I put it there, say it. So call each other that, call each other that. And because they were calling each other that, they were reminding themselves what God has said against the backdrop of a hopeless situation that was also staring them in the face. So they were calling each other that name. And I want you to hear me. They never called each other old man, old woman. They never called each other barren. They never discussed barrenness in that house. They never mentioned it. So how do you know? Because the Bible said Abraham refused to look at that. But he was calling what God called him every day. And then every day they were getting older. But they continued to call father of many nations, mother of many nations, father of many nations, mother of many nations. Then can you imagine people passing by their house? Do you imagine what they would say? They say, we now believe Abraham has lost what? His mind. Because did you hear what he's calling the woman? Say who? Sarah. Sarah, mother of many nations. Some people will open the door to watch and see Sarah, and the man will stay called. Brethren, God put that for an example to you and me. Stay call her. Stay call her. And Sarah will see Abraham wake up in the morning and say, father of that is a spiritual principle that God made them practice. And the Bible said the church has to do so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But we don't. We don't. We prefer to say things according to our feeling. Abraham would have gotten up and said, Sarah, I think we are old now. This thing God said, I don't think it's working. He didn't say that. We give testimony to benefit the devil and wonder why he's eating us for lunch. We give testimony to benefit the flesh and wonder why we're not changing. As a man thinketh in his heart, will end up being. The Bible says, don't say who will bring Jesus from up, will come from down. I'm giving you the word in your heart. Say it. I called you a name. I called you righteous. I called you more than conqueror. I called you blessed. I called you child of God. I gave you a name. Why don't you call it? Say so. Said, Lord, you don't know what you are saying. I got it from my father. Got that one from my mother. His generational curse. Come from heaven. Come from the grave. Come and deliver me from it. Say, I'm not coming. I've given you the word. If you follow it and know this truth, it shall set you what? I gave you the word. It's 9D. It's here. It's your mouth. But you're not calling it. You're not calling it. Because you think with this thing they're teaching, you have option. You don't have option. We don't have option. Because if you don't, if you, the Bible says if you neglect this thing, say, how do you want to escape again? If you let it slip, God called you a name now. What did God call you? Tell me one thing God called you. Huh? Huh? God called us. What? Did God call us blessed? Huh? The way mama. Did God call us righteous? The way mama. You say in your heart, oh, go and bring God down. Go and bring him up. Did God say our sins are forgiven? We are reconciled with him. Do we come boldly? Trusting in the blood. Do we come boldly? Or do we look at ourselves and say, you may not say it, but inwardly you have this thing that I'm not good enough. God says, out of my grace, I called you righteous. Not because you are righteous. It's my grace for you. It's my son that paid with his blood. You know, I go to God, I say, your son paid with his life. All his life. Why shouldn't I take it? It cost him his life. Why shouldn't I take it? I can't offer it. I can't bring it. You gave it to me, Lord. I'm so grateful. You called me righteous. I am righteous. You called me blessed. I am blessed. You called me an overcomer. I am an overcomer. You said to me that your flesh does not control you. He doesn't control me. I'm no more a slave to it. I am no more controlled by it. I'm controlled by your spirit of love. I walk in love, for the spirit of God gives life to my mortal bodies. I want to ask you, how many times you think they call this name in a day? At least 4 times. In the morning and in the evening. At least 4 times. Let's assume they're not calling names. But at least 4 times. How many times have you called yourself those names? Answer it for yourself. And what other names have you taken for yourself? Even the ones you call yourself in your heart. And you think it doesn't matter. I want to show you why God says, say so. Because if you say so, you frame your life and change it. If you begin to say so, you say that word is powerful. It's life. It cuts through. It builds. It heals. He delivers. I send the word to heal you. I send it to deliver. If you begin to say so, the Spirit of God has something to start using. He builds all things with his word of his power. He start building that life you are calling into play. And Abraham and Sarah started calling themselves this and this. And one day, without warning, from nowhere, the Lord said, I shall return. Man. He said, I shall what? Return. He's God. And when it was time, he returned. And an old woman became young because life is in the power of God. He touched an old woman, he became a young woman. And Abraham looked at him and said, oh my God, woohoo! Sarah, can I see you this evening? Of course, they had to. Everything worked perfectly well. The Bible calls it a child of promise. And listen to me. God says, you can't inherit my blessing through works, only through promises. He said, the one that inherited the promise of Abraham is Isaac because it's a child of promise. But this other one child, who is a child of connivance of human mind, is not part of my promise. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. He said, this one, they had this child. It's a connivance of human will trying to produce the blessing. He said, it's not part of my blessing. It is only the child of promise. All the connivance of man planning to produce this waste of time. Only the child of promise. Only the word of promise. Only Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. It's only through him that the blessings of God continue. Only through him. Let me read from 2 more scriptures and I'm done. Hebrews 11:12. Are you following me? Hebrews 11:2. May I love talking to you. You are a wonderful congregation. May I love your pastor. Who is your pastor? Pastor Dorothy, you're doing a good job. Can I join your church? Somebody shout hallelujah! Only through, God said, this child that is not of promise, is not part of my promise. It's not part of it. You say, can't inherit this thing. He said, rejoice, O thou barren. Because you have more children than the one that has this. It's coming because you are going to be a mother of many nations. It's coming. It's coming because it's by my spirit. So in calling those things that be not as if they were, you are framing a life according to the will of God. And God is excited. He said, I've seen somebody who has agreed with me, I can walk with. He said, what's up, Paul said, we as partners with you are begging you, please, please, don't neglect this word that God has given us. Don't neglect it. It's powerful. It's awesome. Don't replace it with ritualism. It's waste of time. It's connivance of human mind. You can't get the blessing through it. It's not a product of the promise. For the promise is to Abraham and his seed, and his seed is Christ. And so in Hebrews 11:2, for by it, the word, the elders obtained what? A good report. For by it, King James Version, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. Continue. Through faith, we understand that the walls were framed by what? Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. You were framed by the word of God. As they spoke it out, the elders, the people of faith, as they spoke it out, it was framing a world that the world had a mind, that the world designed the world to, that world to produce. It was framing it. When you start framing a house, it doesn't come, you don't see it in one day, but you are framing something. You are framing here, you are framing there, you are framing windows, you are framing this thing, you are framing this thing. You keep saying it. People think nothing is happening. But the things that are seen are made by the things that are not seen. In the realm that is not seen, you are framing something. You are framing something. You put windows. You put this one. God says, continue. You put this one. They say, we are seeing nothing. You don't see it. Just wait. You're framing it. You're framing it. You're framing it. You're framing it. Look, my flesh will not control me. No. The spirit of Christ is in me. He has given me power to control this thing. Anger is not part of my new nature. You are framing it. My framing it. I'm blessed going out. My children are blessed. My brethren are blessed. The inheritance of the righteous shall not be abandoned. You keep framing it. You keep framing it. And things are getting worse. Abraham is getting older, but you are framing it in the realm that is not seen. For the things that are seen are made by the things that are not seen. You are doing something in the realm that people don't see. They think you're foolish. And one day, the whole thing will be complete. And God says, it's time to reveal my glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. And that thing you framed comes into reality. The Bible says, that day your faith becomes sight. You believe things that are not seen. It becomes sight. It becomes reality. But you framed it. You framed. The walls were framed. Framed. Built. Built. As Abraham, they were saying it. They're calling those things that are not as if they were. The Bible said because they were saying it, they were strong in faith. They were reminding themselves. They were pronouncing it daily. And then those things challenging them had no chance because they didn't listen to them. They were saying something contrary. If you want to fight thought, you use words. You don't fight thought with thought. It will crush you. You have to open your mouth and say it because words are more powerful than thoughts. And then why did the Bible write it? Romans 4:22. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Who has believed our report? Will you change what you say? Can I hear amen now? Are you going to change what you say? You know, the Lord, he said, you are talking to women, talk about talk. They talk about what? I say, yeah, we end up. He said, we end up with what? Women believe God more easily. Very, very easily. Because they're more spiritual than us men. Believe God very easily. You see how you're just, I mean, I'm just floating. I don't even know where your time is up. I enjoyed myself here. And I know you got what I was saying. I want us to rise up and practice it. Somebody say amen.